You are now listening to Meridian Arts.
The story you're about to hear is true. It takes place in the wild world of rap and contains mature content that may not be appropriate for all audiences. Like NWA said,
parental discretion's advised.
And make it work for your baby.
For real.
So, my man DJ Rags, Grand Imperial, why don't you get up on them ones and twos and show them how we do? This is the Major Flavor Hip Hop Show.
I'm 46 years old and a real rap aficionado. As I'm sure you know, the culture of hip hop has four major tenets: DJing, breakdancing, graffiti, and rap. I study them all, but I'm really interested in rap. I'm fascinated by all the impact of its writers. I've played my share of shows all over the country, and one thing that allows you is a ton of conversation about the art and history of rap. Me and my cast have closed down many a venue arguing about where my city sits in the world and why. Hip hop's 50th anniversary yielded a ton of articles and interviews on the subject. Being the black rap nerd that I am, I started to notice certain cities have something about their contribution that makes them unique. San Diego is one of those cities. I tapped in with some of those close friends I've been discussing rap with over the years, and we put together this series to map out the whole thing for you. But here's the deal. This isn't the history of rap. This isn't a complete timeline, but it is what happened. Some details will be left out. If we're talking about the Fresh Prince, we don't talk about all the other fights he's ever been in. We talk about that one little fight where his mom got scared and him moving with his auntie and uncle. We talk about the important parts. Keep that in mind as you listen to this. This is about San Diego rap and the incredible way it got where it is today. You ready? Let's go. This is the San Diego story.
Diego story. Diego story. Diego story.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
Our last episode introduced you to J.O. Felony, a San Diego lyricist whose diligence and hard work earned him a very successful release on Def Jam Records. But gangster rap isn't the only thing thriving in the city. Trailblazer, Oracle to Psychotic Alien's artistic energy is evolving our backpack rap scene at light speed.
Rapper John Robinson, aka Reality of Ill-Mannered.
Everybody was ripping off what they did, from the backpacks to the shredded pants to the chucks to the honcho boots to everything they was doing. They were ahead of their time with that, you know what I mean? And everybody else, in my opinion, kind of bit off of them.
His weekly underground improv event was up and running as a springboard for local talent. Similar to rap ensembles like Death Row or Boot Camp Click, San Diego's Masters of the Universe, comprised of Adam 12, Matrix, Basement, Eclipse, Millennium, Wes Craven, Orko, and Third Rail, applied a buckshot strategy, releasing a myriad of tape hiss concertos showcasing each member's individual personality and philosophies. A momentum was building and local rap was multiplying.
If you know anything about Masters of the Universe, they were ahead of their time when it comes to production, rhyme scheme, fashion, dancing, anything. They were way ahead of their time, in my opinion.
The Critical Mind State track. Who all is on that?
It was me. There was a guy named Mattis, who at the time was going by C-Dub. There was Perry Wilkins, Pink Juice. There was Asia. Larry Love. The original recording was done by Steve Vicious, who's a San Diego legend. He did Sultry Funk and some other songs with MC Hammer and stuff like that. He did Big June's song on Big June with Young G-Sport. So everybody who was anybody, I think Cricket B, I want to even J.O. Felony, I'm not completely sure, but everybody who's anybody has had a song done from Steve Vicious or went through that studio.
I had a cassette copy of Aztec Tribe Diego Town, and I probably have some other local tapes, but Critical Mind State, that's the first local demo that really got me. Each MC was from a different neighborhood, which gave the demo extra movement around the city.
I go by the name Larry Love, infamous L, Larry Love, Southeast representative.
Whose idea was Critical Mind State?
The whole thought and concept, everything was my idea. Just, I was watching, I don't know if you remember, Pump It Up with Dee Barnes.
Yes, sir.
She had Ice Cube on there. And I just remember, you know, she'll ask him a question, you know, how was it growing up in South Central? And he just be like, man, it's critical. Everything was critical. I was like, I don't know. That word just registered with me. I was just like, okay.
Do you remember anything from that recording session?
I remember, shout out to Steve Vicious, who I've done 99.9% of all my songs. Steve, being there and everybody just feeding off each other and just like, you know, it was a moment when you capture one of those moments and you like, yeah, we got one. Flex the rejects and correct subliminal mind states. Why your brother still pulling crates and yo, don't front cause you know I got you open. Shorty popping crews, brothers know they gonna lose and yo, don't play the next wing, that shit's complex.
Larry Love's goal with Critical Mind State was a compilation with other MCs. His work didn't come together, but great minds think alike. The Vital Signs compilation featured 19 homegrown songs, each from a different group. This isn't a new concept. Similar moves can be seen throughout the 90s with albums from The Flavor Unit, Eric Sermon, and of course, Wu-Tang. Upon revisit, Vital Signs is a wonderful exhibition of San Diego's personality, psychonaut wisdoms, and avant-garde wordplay, mixed in with gritty West Coast slappers. It's special. A sort of coming of age. A slightly specific benchmark showing that our scene was beyond merely surviving. It was enjoying its quirks.
We submitted a song for it and it made the cut. It's on the official Vital Signs. Well, it was cassettes back then. So, Soul Providers, and the name of the song is called Camouflage Tactics. Who in this place is sick and tired of the lies? These guys surprise all my brothers with the snarry eyes. Like flies, we come in flocks to the spots. We're the disc jock, set up shop, show what you got. Record execs from all around. My man Frosty, well, he's icons now. But he used to be Almighty Society. But he was the one who formed the Glass Houses. But that's how I got on the Vital Signs through Frosty's connection.
Who did the beat for Camouflage Tactics?
Steve.
We're going to talk more about the local records that were in rotation when we come back from this quick break. Stick around.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
Welcome back. We're talking about the slew of local music floating Walkman to Walkman.
A Walkman is a portable stereo that allowed the user to listen to music on cassette tapes through headphones.
Write a couple rhymes, become a rapper. Get a couple rappers, you got a group. Couple groups, that's a crew. Bunch of crews, you got a scene. Eventually, that scene's gonna have records. And records should mean radio, right? Well, in the late 90s, rap wasn't as accepted as it is now. Songs that featured rappers still had an alternate version without the rap to please top 40 stations. But we had somebody putting it on the dial for us.
My name is DJ Rags, San Diego, California. South San Diego, California. Born and raised.
DJ Rags is a young OG, a mainstay of SoCal airwaves. His name is held in high esteem nationally. And on a street level, it's rumored his Raw Flavor series yielded one of the first San Diego mixtapes to feature a young Notorious B.I.G. In this interview with Chris Reyes, DJ Rags shares his road to radio and the work of getting SD Rap on the dial.
I started off as a mobile DJ because my older brother, Jose, he's about 10 years older than me. He was a DJ. He had a mobile system. I was around like 10 years old, although he didn't really like me using his stuff. Like, it was kind of like that Step Brothers movie. Like, whenever he would leave, like, I'd get on it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is he also managed a record store called Licorice Pizza. I don't know if you're familiar. It used to be in Chula Vista over on 8th Street. He would always bring home promos of all kinds of music, but a lot of hip-hop. And at that time, that's when hip-hop was starting to explode. It's not like today where there's like a million DJs. back then, there was only a handful. So I was doing bar mitzvahs, I was doing black parties, I was doing like Mexican parties. And that's trial by fire, you know what I mean? Because they hire you and you're in their home. So all you had were the records that you brought. So again, and it was just, it was a full on education. And again, like hip hop was always about like 80-90% of my sets.
Tell me a little bit about the Z90 days and your relationship with Cutfather.
Oh man. Honestly, like I got emotional right now just thinking about it, man. I started on Z90 when I was about 17, 18. I met James D because he used to shop at our record store. The store was just like a hangout for all these DJs, and especially in the South Bay.
And this is AC&S?
AC&S, yeah.
AC&S Records was a popular independently owned record store located in Chula Vista, California.
So I would be there all day just cutting, just having fun, talking music, talking ish, you know. And so James, I got to know James there. One day he just asked me, he's like, hey, like, you want to come mix? He was supposed to be playing the music and I was supposed to be throwing stuff on top of it, like a little acapella, scratching, that kind of stuff. But the thing is, James, like, I always got the impression that he hated DJing because he was always complaining. So eventually he got to the point where he was just like, okay, just DJ, just play. So I ended up DJing. So like around midnight, we knew like a lot of like the regular people, more of the squares or whatever, tuned out. So that's when we used to go real heavy on the hip hop. That ended up being my show, my hip hop show on Z90. Yeah. And at first, like I never had a real host. It was just like whoever happened to have that shift. But when Cutfather came on, oh man, I feel like that's when it became like a hip hop show. He took it and multiplied it by like 100. Dude, that dude bled hip hop. He would start freestyling like in the middle of like, I'd just be throwing breaks. He just couldn't help himself. He was doing like promos, like talking about like, yo, this is Kmart. Da, da, da. And then he started like rhyming about Kmart. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was, dude, like, I'm telling you, I love Cut, man. He just took my show to a whole nother level. Like, we had a good relationship. Like, we respected.
He had such an amazing voice though, too.
Oh, man.
When are you guys gonna stop playing this music? You know what I'm saying? And I was like, yo, we gonna keep on playing it forever. You know what I'm saying? Cause we will be here forever. You understand me? Look at me. We will be here forever, ever, ever, ever.
Marcus Cutfather Tufono was a DJ and major influence on both San Diego and Seattle's hip hop scenes, rapping on some of famed producer Jake One's first tracks. He passed away December 30th, 2020. He was 48 years old.
I distinctly remember is that you guys would occasionally break a local record. Can you talk a little bit about like how that came about and like how you guys were even able to do that?
It all comes back to AC&S. I had relationships with everybody and everybody would come in. And again, like it was like the barbershop of that time, like for DJs. But the only thing was I could only play local guys who had vinyl. When I was playing like Mitchie Slick, Lil One, like all these local dudes, now you have beef with all the other local guys you're not playing. These guys were actually putting in work. Like I wasn't interested in playing the guy who made a couple songs just for his block or for his friends, whatever, but that's it. Who didn't really have, who weren't really trying to do it in a real way.
The artists who knew that they needed to have a 12 inch, they kind of did have an advantage, right? Like if they knew that, oh, we had to take it that serious so that Rags could get a 12 inch so that he could actually play it.
Right.
It would almost like filter out people who weren't taking it serious.
Exactly. I mean, right. They filtered out themselves. I mean, again, artists are artists. They're they're creatives.
Do you feel like when you think about like the character of like the San Diego hip hop scene, like how do you describe it?
It's a small community. And so I remember when Jail Felony blew up, when he got signed to, first off, when he got signed to Def Jam, the dish talking went up 1,000. It's very disappointing because, but you also, the thing is, it's a very small market So it's a small pond of like a bunch of little sharks, you know what I mean, fighting against each other. It's not like LA. LA is an industry. Atlanta's an industry. Miami became an industry. New York is an industry. You know what I mean? And a lot of these guys here, they think locally. And even now, a lot of these guys are content with being the guy in San Diego. It's like, dude, there's a whole world out there.
What are some of the things you want to be remembered for? And give me like a high point.
The way I want to be remembered is that I did my part. Like, not like, oh, he was the man, or he did this, he did that. No, like, he did, like, and I feel like I did do my part. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm grateful for hip hop. I'm grateful for DJing. I'm grateful for all of it. As far as like high points, I mean, I continue to have high points. You know what I mean? I love DJing. Like, my high point, I think, overall, is I've been able to do what I love my whole life.
From Meridian Arts and KPBS, this is episode 6 of Rap Diego, a San Diego story. In our next episode, we step into the 2000s, and San Diego is supplying the whole country with underground rap.
I discovered a lot of really dope music that I don't think I would have naturally fell into if I wasn't really focused on that underground scene and parking myself in San Diego for a period of time.
Rap Diego is a co-production of KPBS and Meridian Arts. Host and co-creator, Parker Edison. Episodes written by Jay Smith, Chris Reyes, Don Jegger, and Stephen Flex. Extra special thanks to guest writer Melody Harold. Editing by Platform Collection. Music soundtrack by Monday Adams. Executive producer for KPBS is Lisa Jane Morissette, KPBS Director of Audio Programming and Operations. Technical and operational support provided by KPBS technical producer, sound designer, Adrian Villalobos, and KPBS producer, Julio Ortiz Franco. This programming is made possible in part by the KPBS Explore Content Fund. Shout outs in no particular order to Junebug Spade, Filtered Souls, Almighty Society, Dizzy Order, SRL, Flow Ride, Tri 5, Unity Clan, and Moonlight Market. See you next episode.
Now playing Gravity by General Black.
Yeah, I got different pieces. This piece right here is in a style, you know. It's called Gravity. Gravity. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be self-explanatory.
Now gravity don't be holding me, cause I free my flow when I flow fancy free. Now gravity don't be holding me, cause I freak my flow when I flow fancy free. Now gravity don't be holding me, cause I freak my flow when I flow fancy free. Now gravity don't be holding me, cause I freak my flow when I flow fancy free. Like the crime rate, the number of MCs increases till it equals the particles of sands on the beaches. Finally it's overpopulate those airwaves of radios and video shows. Multiply this by the digits on your TV dial. And that's how many styles they make, or rather they try to create. But often there are dips to captivate and only agitate. 23% of them are trash and their beats get them over. They don't sound good when you're sober, as they try to go in depth, speaking on their ghetto raps or some other irrelevant concepts. Don't get me wrong, it's cool to hear a song about nothing at all from time to time. As a matter of fact, some of my favorite groups rap like that. I guess it's just how you bust the rhyme. Me, my mind works like machinery. I try to help you visualize the scenery. It seems to me, gangsta rapping, hip hop rapping, knowledge rapping, all gets the party people's heads clapping. But a vulture outside of our culture came with misguiding labels and placed them on your picnic table.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Maracal Design and Remodeling, helping homeowners with their home remodeling needs. From ADUs to kitchen remodels, room additions, and custom homes, Maracal Design and Remodeling can help homeowners design and build their dream homes. More at trustyourhometous.com.